Yes, this system will work for you. I don't care where you are financially today. I don't care what skin color you are. I don't care how much money you're making. I don't care who your parents are. If you stick with this system, you will have the ability to build wealth for yourself, but it requires you to put in the effort, to put in the sacrifice, and stick with the system.
What's up, everybody? I am Jaspreet Singh, and welcome to the Minority Mindset.
The days of you being able to just go to work and save some money and then retiring with your social security are long gone. Which is why if you want to have any chance of being able to live your life financially free, there are three things that you need to start doing right now in this order, that way you can break out of this financial system. And if you don't believe me, just take a look. For one, people are having to spend more and more of their incomes just to fund their basic expenses like their housing costs and their cars, so they have less money to save or invest. And second, just take a look at what's happening with baby boomers today. Baby boomers are facing the largest retirement crisis that we have ever seen in the United States because they did not save or invest enough money to retire. But here's the thing that I want you to understand. While this all seems like bad news, which it is, there is some shining light in this, which is that there is more financial education available today than any other time. That means even though we're in a time where more and more people are struggling with money, you have the ability to break out of this financial struggle and actually live a life without having to stress about money, but that requires you to understand the three different phases of wealth and build your wealth through these three phases. Now, if you've been watching my channel or sticking with my content, you might have heard me talk about the climb to wealth, because building wealth is like climbing a mountain. And the way that you climb a mountain is by climbing one small step at a time. And then to break this climb to wealth down into smaller bite-sized pieces, step number zero is the pre-climb. Step number one is what I like to call create your financial base. Step number two is what I call lead your money. Step number three is interest-free living. Step number four is multiply your income. And step number five at the top of this mountain is be great. But now, if we break this down a little bit deeper, what you'll see is that you can actually break down this climb to wealth into three phases of becoming wealthy. Phase number one is this pre-climb and creating a financial base. You'll understand exactly what this means by the end of this video. Phase number two is lead your money and interest-free living. And then phase number three is multiply your income and be great. So let me break down these three phases. That way you understand the different phases of becoming wealthy. That way you can see exactly what you need to do depending on which phase you're in right now, because each phase is gonna require different types of sacrifice and it's gonna require you to do different things with your money. So let's break this down. In this first phase of you becoming wealthy, what you're doing right now is really doing all the foundational work. During this phase, what you need to do before you worry about anything else is, number one, you gotta develop a wealthy mindset. Number two is you have to understand the rules of money. You need to understand how money works, how our economic system works, and how you can win in this economic system. Number three is you gotta save your first $2,000. And number four is you have to pay off your high interest debts, like your credit card debt. Until you do these four things, you should not be worried about investing your money in the stock market. You should not be worried about investing your money into real estate. You should not be worried about buying a home. You should be worried about accomplishing this. This is the very first phase of wealth. And until you do these four things, you have to stop spending money completely. What I like to say is that in this phase of wealth, if you are in phase one of your wealth building process, you can't afford a subscription to Netflix. And now, anytime I say this, everybody says, Jaspreet, what are you talking about? Netflix is only $15 a month. That's not gonna affect me saving $2,000. That's not gonna affect my credit card debt. But what you're missing is your Netflix subscription is costing you way more than the $15 a month, because a Netflix subscription is costing you 2 hours of your time every single day. And if you have credit card debt, if you don't have $2,000 saved up, if you don't understand how money works, if you don't have any sort of wealth mindset, well, now what you need to be doing is taking that time that you're spending on Netflix and using that time to learn about money, to read books about money, to learn how you can increase your income, to learn about saving, to learn about financial education. You need to be investing every extra bit of time and money into yourself, because until you've laid this foundation, you're in what I like to call that financial danger zone. And with this financial danger zone, any small little hiccup, any small little life event can completely throw you over the edge. It could put you deeper into credit card debt. It could put you deeper into a financial hole. And this is where right now you have to get extremely focused to understand these four things. Now you might be wondering, what does it mean to build a wealthy mindset? What does it mean to understand the rules of money? Well, starting with this wealthy mindset, what this means is, number one, you believe that you can become wealthy. Number two, it means you understand that money is abundant. And number three, you understand that money is a tool. And what I mean by this is if you don't believe that you can become wealthy yourself, you're never going to actually go out and achieve that wealth for yourself. Because you can go out and learn everything about money. You can read every book about money. But until you believe it's possible for you, it's never going to be possible for you. So you have to actually work on believing that you can become wealthy. And this requires you not to go out and read books on personal development, self-development, listening to podcasts on this, and really working on your self-development and your perception of yourself and you becoming wealthy. Then you have to believe that money is abundant. And what I mean by that is there's a lot of people out there, and this is kind of a very common thing in the early stages of you becoming wealthy, is believing that there's a scarcity of money. That if you get money, I can't get rich. If I pay you money, I can't get rich because I'm giving you my money. But what you have to start understanding is that there's a lot of money in the world. I can pay you $100 and get $500 worth of value back. If I pay you 20 bucks for a book and then I learn how to make $5,000 out of that book, well, I paid you 20 bucks, but I made 5,000. And it's this whole idea of, oh, you can become wealthy and I can become wealthy. It changes this whole like kind of jealousy, hating, negative mindset into a understanding and growth mindset. And you have to have this growth mindset if you want to be able to attract more money to yourself. And the third thing that you have to understand is that money is just a tool. See, it's very common to get into this mindset of money is bad, people who have money are evil, rich people are bad, money is this negative, horrible thing. But at the end of the day, money doesn't change who you are. Money is just paper. It costs money to eat and it costs money to feed other people. And if you want to be able to pay your bills, if you want to be able to live in a nice home, if you want to be able to take your family on the nice vacations, it costs money to do that. It's not going to make you bad to have an extra $100,000 in your bank account. It's not going to make you evil to have an extra $1 million in your stock brokerage account. But that can provide you a lot more stress-freeness in your financial life. Now sure, if you're struggling with your happiness, more money might not fix that. If you're struggling with depression or anxiety, more money might not fix that. Your money is gonna fix the financial problems in your life, but that give you more time and freedom to work on the mental health parts of your life, onto the physical parts of your life, onto the spiritual parts of your life, because if you're constantly stressed about money, well, that can ruin every other aspect of your life as well. So if you wanna build this wealthy mindset, you have to understand that number one, you can become wealthy. Number two, that there's a lot of money out there. And number three, money is just a tool. And number two is understanding the rules of money, because the reality is in today's economic system, the system we live in, especially in the United States, is a system that is designed to benefit the financially educated. Now, a lot of people like to think that our system is designed to benefit the rich and the wealthy, which it is. But it's not just designed to benefit people with money. It's designed to benefit people who understand money. And what I mean by that is our system runs on spending. See, we live in what's called a capitalist system. And a capitalist system means that somebody spends money and somebody else makes money. Now, the thing about this that you have to understand is every single person is a consumer. Rich people are consumers, middle class people are consumers, poor people are consumers. Everybody's a consumer. However, when people consume, which remember, everybody consumes, certain people benefit. Right, when you go to Chipotle and you buy that Chipotle bowl and you get the extra guac, somebody's benefiting. Now the person that's benefiting is the owner of Chipotle. Now you might be wondering, well, who's the owner of Chipotle? Well, of course, the owner of Chipotle are the people that started Chipotle, right? The entrepreneurs that started Chipotle, but it's not just them. It's also the investors in Chipotle. Anybody can be an investor in Chipotle. Now, I'm not telling you what to invest in. I'll give you an example here. But if you go out and you invested your money into the Chipotle stock on the stock market, you would be one of the owners of Chipotle. Now, what does that mean? If somebody goes to Chipotle and they spend their money at Chipotle, you're benefiting because now Chipotle is making more money. If people are going out and they're buying that extra guac at Chipotle, you're benefiting as the investor. And if somebody is going into debt to buy that Chipotle bowl, well, that's benefiting you as the investor. Now, I don't want you to go into debt to go out and buy the Chipotle. I don't want you to go out and buy that extra guac unless you can afford it. See, this is that financial education on the consumer side. But I want you to also understand on the investor side, our economic system runs on spending. And if you own a piece of that system by being an investor, you benefit when people spend money. And guess what? People in America love spending money. And that's the way the economic system works.
We're going to jump back into the show in just a minute. But first, here are a few words from our sponsor, M1, formerly known as M1 Finance. If you're looking for an easy way to passively invest your money into the stock market, M1 makes it super easy for you to do that. The way it works is after you create a free account, you're going to create your PI, meaning what are the stocks or ETFs that you want to invest in. Maybe you want to invest in hypothetically dividend ETFs, value ETFs, and emerging market ETFs. Then you decide how big you want each slice of your pie to be. Like maybe you want the bulk of your investments to go into dividend ETFs, not emerging market ETFs. After that, you select how often you want to invest your money into your portfolio. Maybe you want to invest every week, every 2 weeks, or every month, and then you set it and forget it. Now, as a quick disclaimer, at the time of me recording this video, I do use M1 as my tool to passively invest my money into the stock market. And of course, investing has risks. You are never guaranteed to make money when you invest. In fact, you will probably lose your money at some point. So make sure you always do your own due diligence and never blindly trust a random guy on YouTube. But M1 is free to set up and get started. So if you want to learn more and start investing your money passively with M1, which is what they specialize in, I got the link to how you can learn more and do that down in the description below. Minority Mindset is a paid partner with M1. So if you use them, we will get compensated, but there's no additional cost to you. Again, if you want to learn more or get started with investing passively with M1, I got the link to how you can learn more and do that down in the description below, or you can go to theminoritymindset.com/M1. That's theminoritymindset.com/M1. Now with that, let's get back to the show.
So now, if you want to win in this economic system, you got to understand, everybody's a consumer. Rich people, middle class people, poor people. But some people, the financially educated, will benefit when people spend. And the way they benefit is by owning some of these assets. You can own stocks. You can own things like rental properties, rental real estate. You can build a business. You can invest in startups. There's a lot of ways that you can go about doing that. But then it gets a little bit more advanced and technical when you take a look at how our economic system is actually built. Because our economic system is designed to build inflation. Now you might be wondering, well, what the heck does that even mean? Well, if you look at the Federal Reserve Bank website, they say that they aim for a target of 2% inflation. I'm not going to talk about where inflation is today, although we know that inflation is higher than this target number. But what that means is that it costs you more money to buy that Chipotle year after year after year. And the reason why is because, well, Chipotle, the company, has to pay more money to get the rice, to get the beans, to get the vegetables, to get the meat, to get all everything. It costs more money. They also have to pay their employees more money. They have to pay more money for their rent. So because their costs are higher, they pass this down to the consumer. So if our economic system is designed to create inflation, that means the consumers, people, rich people, middle class people, poor people, have to pay more money. If everybody, consumers, have to pay more money, who's benefiting? Well, again, the investors are the one that's benefiting because now people have to pay more money for the Chipotle bowl. You have to pay more money for the extra guac. So that benefits the investors. So now when you have inflation happen, that hurts consumers. Inflation is bad for consumers because that means you have to pay more money. Who's the consumer? Rich people, middle class people, poor people. Inflation is bad on the consumption side. But inflation benefits those who are financially educated, who are the investors, because now investors get more money in terms of higher revenue dollars, higher profit dollars, because now Chipotle has to charge more money. So who does that benefit? Well, it benefits those who are financially educated. And this is why it is so important for you to understand the rules of money, because our economic system is designed to benefit the financially educated. And I'm just scratching the surface here, because now if you get to looking into the tax laws, well, what you see is that our tax code is designed to benefit the financially educated. How do I know that? Well, I'm a licensed attorney, who's not your attorney, who spent a lot of time studying the tax code. In fact, let me show you something. This is a handy dandy copy of the federal income tax book that I had to purchase when I was in law school. And what you'll see is that this tax book is 2,000 pages long of very small font, explaining all the little ins and outs of the tax code. Now, you might think, well, what the heck do you need 2,000 pages of to explain for the tax code? Because aren't taxes just you make money and you pay taxes on that money based off of how much your income is? No. All these pages are showing you the ins and outs of the rule book, because the tax code is a rule book. Now, who does this rule book benefit? It benefits the people who understand the rule book and who can actually use the rule book. And who are those people? Well, those are the investors and those are the business owners, because now when you are an investor, you qualify for potentially lower tax rates and higher tax deductions than people who just earn their money from their job as a W-2 employee. Now, you can hate it, you can love it. All I'm telling you is how our economic system works. And now, either you can be angry about it, or you can learn it and learn how to win in this system, but that requires you to learn the rules of money. Now, when you understand that you can become wealthy, you understand this wealthy mindset, and you start learning about the rules of money, that's when you get into the practical side of this phase one, which is you gotta save your first $2,000 and get out of credit card debt. And you have to get serious about doing this ASAP, because until you achieve phase one, you can never start building upwards. Everything here is just laying the foundation. Everything here is just laying that kind of base stuff so you can get started on the actual climb to wealth, on the higher parts of building wealth. Right now we're trying to get to zero, which is why you gotta get aggressive here. That's why I say, if you don't have $2,000 saved up, if you have credit card debt, you can't afford Netflix. You can't afford to have those luxuries yet. And yeah, these are tough financial sacrifices, but you gotta get serious. Because right now, you are making everybody else rich. When you have credit card debt, you're making the credit card company rich, you're making your banker rich, and you're making all those companies rich where you're spending all of your money. I want you to make yourself rich. And that means you're gonna have to make some sacrifices that we no longer have to make the credit card company richer, that we no longer have to make this other companies richer, which means you gotta keep that money in your pocket. I know this is hard, and this is not fun. But if you stick with me through phase one, well, guess what? Phase two and phase three start to become a lot more fun. And that's where you can actually start to reap the rewards of the money that you're starting to generate. So now let's talk about what happens in phase two. And by the way, for those of you who want to stay up to date on what's happening in the financial world, I have a company called Briefs Media, where my team publishes a daily newsletter called Market Briefs, where every day my team is working to break down what's happening in things like the economy, the housing market, the stock market, crypto, and the global economy into a fun, witty, and easy to read newsletter. You can read Market Briefs in less than 5 minutes every morning, and it's completely free. So if you'd like to join Market Briefs, I got the link to how you can join down in the description below, or you can go to briefs.co/market. That's briefs.co/market. Now, in phase two of you becoming wealthy, the first thing you need to do is you got to systemize your finances. I like to talk about a 75-15-10 plan. I'll explain exactly what that means. The second thing you want to do in phase two is you want to pay down all of your non-mortgage consumer debts, things like your car loans, things like your student loans. Number three is now you're going to start investing. Number four is now you're going to start spending your money smartly. So let's break this down step by step. The first thing you need to do now in this phase two is you gotta systemize your money. That means every time you get paid, your dollars need to have a job. See, what wealthy people understand is they know what they're gonna do with their money before their money hits their bank account. If they were to go out and make $10,000 or $1,000,000, they know exactly what they would do with this money, how much would be spent, how much would be saved, and how much would be invested before that money even hits their account. For most people, they have absolutely no idea. What they do is money hits their account, they spend that money, and then they wonder where all that money went. No more of that. This is where you want to create some sort of system to systemize your finances. And one of the things I like to talk about is something as simple as a 75-15-10 plan, which says that from here on out, 75 cents out of every dollar that you earn is the maximum that you can spend. 15 cents out of every dollar that you earn is the minimum that you're investing, and 10 cents out of every dollar that you earn is the minimum that you're saving. This is saving for an emergency in a separate savings account to protect you in case you lose a job or something bad happens, like your car breaks down or your window breaks. This is not savings that you use to go out and buy a home. This is not savings that you use to go out and buy a car. This is not savings that you use to go out and buy a TV. This is savings to protect you against an actual emergency. So now, the thing that you want to understand here is you have a system. If you see $10,000 hit your bank account, well, you know, you can't just spend all $10,000. $1,500 of that needs to be put aside for investing. $1,000 of that needs to be put aside for your emergency savings, and the other $7,500 can be spent. Now, this is after-tax income, but what I want you to understand here is you are becoming wealthy from your investments. We'll talk about how to invest your money just a little bit, but this is what is going to make you wealthy. The more money you invest, the wealthier you'll become. If you could put more money into investments, good. The more money you put into investments, the wealthier you have the ability to become. Your spending is what buys you all the nice stuff. Your cars, your homes, your clothes, your vacations. All that stuff is going to be coming out of here. And this is stuff that doesn't actually make you rich. This is the stuff that makes you look like you're rich. Now, nothing wrong with spending money. I don't have any problem with you buying nice things, buying expensive things. I just want you to be able to afford it first. And this is where you got to make the decision of, can you be more aggressive than the 75, 15, 10. If not, at least start with something like this, that way you're putting some money aside for investments. The second thing now is you wanna start getting aggressive with paying down your non-mortgage debts. Things like your student loans, things like your car loans. These are payments that are not putting any money in your pocket. The question is, how do you do this? And this can also be balanced with your investment starting, because now you're taking this 15% of your income. You can put this money aside to be invested. And this is where you can make the decision of how much is going to be invested into things like the stock market and rental real estate, and how much is going to be invested into paying down this debt. And the right amount for you is going to vary based off of where you are in your life and the risk tolerance that you have and the types of goals that you have with your life. But what I would say at the very least is starting 50-50. Take half of this money, put it into paying down this lower interest rate debts, things like your student loans and your car payment, and then take the other half and put that money into things like the stock market, putting it into low-cost index funds and ETFs. That way you can get exposure to the market. Now, some of you are gonna say, Jaspreet, I don't have that high of a risk tolerance. I would feel much more comfortable investing my money if I could just get rid of all these lower interest rate debts. Fine, I'm not here to tell you what to do. My goal is not to tell you this is what you need to do in order to become wealthy, because there's a lot of different paths to wealth, and you gotta know yourself. In which case, you take this 15% and use it to pay off your low interest rate debts, that we no longer have to worry about these expenses, then you can invest a lot more aggressively. Some of you are gonna say, you know what, Jaspreet, I want to invest more aggressively and I'm not gonna worry too much about this debt. So I'm gonna put 75% of this money into investing and 25% of this money into paying down my lower interest rate debts. That's fine, but you need to make sure at least some of this money is being used to pay off these lower interest rate debts, because the faster you can get rid of these lower interest rate consumer debts, the faster you can get rid of that financial bleeding, so you have more money to invest in yourself. Then you have to worry about how do you spend your money smartly. And this means no longer doing the things that got you into the financial situation that you're in today. That means from now on, no more going out and financing cars. That means paying for your car with cash. Yes, this is difficult. Yes, it's hard. Yeah, most people are not going to do this. And that means, yeah, you might not be able to buy that BMW today. But when you no longer have to worry about the car payment, well, now you have a lot more money every single month that you can use towards your investments. Not to mention the fact that now you don't have to worry about the premium gas, and now you don't have to worry about the insurance. Yeah, maybe you gotta go from a BMW to a Toyota for a little while, but now you have the ability to actually make the investments to make you wealthy. Because the goal now is to become wealthy, and that means you gotta spend your money smartly. This also means now, from now on, no more going out and financing liabilities. No more going into Macy's and financing your purchase on your credit card. I don't care if you use a credit card, but if you're using a credit card to buy things that you can't afford, meaning you can't pay it off completely, then don't use a credit card. This means you gotta pay for things upfront with cash. No more 0% APR, no more putting things on your credit card that you can't afford to purchase, no more financing your car, buying things that you can afford with cash. I like using a credit card, but I never carry a balance on my credit card. Those are two completely different things, but this is where you gotta be smart with your money and not just spend money that you don't have. This brings us now to phase three of becoming wealthy, where things really start to get fun. In this third phase of becoming wealthy, now what you're gonna be doing is really hammering out these investments. That way you can maximize how much money you're investing, so you can maximize how much money you're making from your investments. What I like to say is keep investing and reinvesting your money, your profits, until the cash flow from your investments, the money you're making from investments, can pay for your expenses, can pay for your lifestyle. And while you're doing this, you're also working to increase your income so you have more money to invest. And then you're also working to protect your assets, and then you're also working to give back. Now, you don't have to wait until phase three to give back. You don't have to wait until phase three to start increasing your income. You don't have to wait until phase three to protect your assets. But this is where, in phase three, all this becomes incredibly important. So let me talk about this. I like to invest my money for cash flow. What that means is the bulk of my investments. So when we look at my real estate investments and my stock market investments, most of my investments, not all, but most of my investments are for cash flow purposes. So when I go out and invest in rental properties, these are properties that I'm investing in to pay me with cash flow. When I go out and invest in stocks or ETFs or funds, these, most of them are there to pay me with cash flow through dividends. That means now I'm getting paid every month or every quarter just for owning these investments. And I wanna stay aggressive into reinvesting my profits and to keep investing my money until my cash flow can exceed my monthly expenses, at least my base expenses. Because, you know, maybe you start to increase your lifestyle, but you know that, you know what, if I had to cut back on some of my lavish purchases, my cash flow from my investments can continue funding my base expenses. And you want to stay aggressive on your reinvestments and your investments until that happens. Then, in addition to this, also working to increase your income. How can you work now to earn more money, whether it's from your job or your business? That way you have more money to invest. Because remember, when you're following something like a 75, 15, 10 plan, that means for every dollar that you earn, some money is always going to be invested. But if you can work to make an extra $1,000 a month or an extra $10,000 a month, well, that gives you more money to invest. And one of the fastest hacks to become wealthy sooner is to increase your investments faster than you increase your expenses. And so now, if you work to increase how much money you're putting into the stock market or into the real estate market or into your own business before you go out and finance a new car or buy a new car, that's going to give you the ability to have more assets, to have more wealth, because I want to have more of this income going to produce this, because this is going to buy you your freedom. When you have cash flow from your rental properties, cash flow from your stocks, cash flow from your assets, funding your lifestyle, well, now you're free. Because you know every month, every quarter, you're going to get another check coming in and you can use this money to live off of. Well, now you're financially free and all that extra money is just play money. Then also working to protect your assets, because what I can tell you as an attorney who's not your attorney is that our legal system allows people to sue anybody for anything. And this is where you want to have the right protection in place, because when people realize that you have money, they're going to want to take their hands, put it in your pockets and take some of it for themselves. This is where you need to have the right protections. Learn about estate planning. Talk to estate planning attorneys. Talk to tax advisors, accountants, tax attorneys to figure out how you can minimize how much money you pay in taxes legally. You want to make sure you have the right legal shields in place. And so this is all about having the right advisors and the right protection around you, because if you don't, well, then you become a target for people who want to access your money. And then, of course, giving back, because the more you have, the more you can give. And this doesn't have to necessarily be giving money, but it's also giving with your time, giving with your knowledge, giving with your experience, helping other people, because, well, sometimes people just need a little helping hand to help them get to the next level, and you have the ability to do that. But the more you have, the more you can do, which is why it is your duty for you to go out and become wealthy, because the more you have, the more that you can give back as well.